Hot Talk After Midnight, 888-550-9105, if you'd like to join us. And I want to thank so much the cast of I Know What I Am and I'm Not What You Call Me for coming in tonight, and the incredible Dr. Dorothy Bendross-Menningoff for staying up with me tonight. But this, my next guest, this young man is used to having a nightcap. Award-winning author and journalist Peter Bailey is here. Gifted by the Knight Foundation, Nightcap is a, I like to call it a docu-convo. It's a documentary conversation series highlighting local entrepreneurs and issues driving their success. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation supports his efforts. And November 19th, he will feature Brian Brackeen, founder of Kairos, a Miami-based facial recognition software company, nominated as one of the Wall Street Journal's 2013 Startup of the Year. Nightcap is a three-event series that will couple a deep conversation about opportunities and challenges in Miami's startup scene with provocative experiences, and that is for sure. Peter Bailey, welcome back to Hot Talk.
How you doing, Jill?
Always I'm
happy
good,
to
sir.
Be with you, hanging out with you.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm up with you, so I'm good.
Yes, yes, indeed. Thank you. You all are up.
Riding
shotgun again, my friend Reza.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna come back after the election. I had to come back.
Well, you know, and we hung out last night. Peter, yeah, where were you last night? You missed Miami Gardens Wine and Food Extravaganza.
I know. I heard it was a good time.
It was a good time.
I haven't been to Miami Gardens in a minute. So
yeah, they had a really lovely time out at the. We didn't eat.
I ate.
You did go out there and eat?
No, I
did
have.
Wait a minute. What is that brother's
early.
Name? Mr. James.
You didn't send me food for us, Jim?
Mr. James.
I don't have a plate.
Oh, child. They were here three times and they brought food.
I have no idea how I missed all three shows that they were here.
Right.
I mean, I was at home watching Facebook Live. Like, how am I in the studio eating?
Okay, yeah. They really represent. They came through. And the young lady that was here for the Sweet Freak competition, she won. She won No, the Freaks Come Out at Night. All right, Chris.
That's gonna have to really
right, they're
show.
Like, no, we don't want the show at 11 because the Freaks come out at night. Okay. That's your friend, Chris. Remember Chris,
yes,
the comedian?
Chris, I know.
He'll be here
all hours of the day, so please don't be lying.
Okay. But yeah, Miami Gardens wine food experience was good. Razor and I held it down with Lamon Rucker, Marcus Samuelson. How can I forget Marcus? He was so lovely.
Yeah, man.
He was really cool.
The moment that he did with that young lady.
Yeah, he was there, and
she needed a whisk, but she didn't have one, so he showed like a technique right there on the spot.
How she could whip it without
whip it,
a whisk.
And then made them find her a whisk with all the other chefs that were there.
And the fact that he was paying attention, because nobody else was paying attention to that, but right. He was. Okay, I won't.
But he was super cool though. He was very passionate about what he was doing.
He really is, and that's why he's so successful.
And I'll tell you something. They had some food out there. I had something. They had I don't know what they call it.
Tootsie's did it with those fried lobsters. That was like the thing. Everybody's in line for Tootsie's. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what they had at Tootsie's.
That's what that Tootsie's line was going on.
Oh, I thought they had other samples.
Lemonade
mixed with coffee. There was a
what?
It was.
You said lemonade mixed with
lemonade coffee.
It tastes so good.
That sounds righteous.
That sounds disgusting.
No,
see,
It was ice, right? And I thought it was going to be something that was like crazy, but it tasted. It's called lime offy. It was crazy.
That's disgusting.
No, Jill.
Lime off me.
And who was telling this?
That's a whole other thing. Get your lime off me.
And then they had these ribs for people who eat pork. They had a rib that tasted like bacon. It was crazy. Like,
who was this?
It was a place in Palm Beach. She only does breakfast, right? But she's a caterer as well. So she had this kale fried rice. It was crazy.
What?
See, I didn't get none of that.
Yeah, man.
But I came early.
Right.
Yeah, that's what happens when you show up an hour after the event starts.
Yeah, you know. They had other stuff, too.
I did meet Gandhi Pinder yesterday. I said I was going to do shout-outs out to them, but I'll do it in the morning. And there was somebody else. Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. Reggae. There it is. Reggae Pondegrill.
Oh, Nadine, he was good.
Yeah, oh, they I don't know good. Who he was, but Nadine brought me some food, and she was very lovely. And
they
it was,
were good.
And
the chef.
They did a jerk with mint.
That's what I'm talking about. With the fresh mint on there.
It was amazing.
The jerk with mint.
It was really, really
fresh
good.
Mint,
yeah,
fresh
really
mint good. On the jerk chicken.
We have to go up there and have lunch
cup,
with that.
Oh, yeah. We'll cup it up. I'm on the cup.
So, listen, before we get deep in it, so
the sex therapist deep in it. What?
I didn't get introduced either.
Oh Jesus! Jennifer's like, hello, I'm here. Jennifer Smith is back in the building. How are you, my dear?
I'm good.
Those of you who there may be some of you that are new to the show and have never met Jennifer Smith. She is a certified sex therapist and all around fabulous chick.
Thank you.
And at least once or twice a month you're here. Last month you were only here once.
No, last month I was here like two or three times actually. This month was the only month I'm here once.
November.
Yeah.
Well, that's only because you're going out of town.
It's true.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. You got something to do. You cut your hair. It's cute.
I took my weave out.
Oh, how about that? Okay. See? Midnight. We're on it. Listen, and I did not have a weave in yesterday. When I showed up, I looked like that.
Right.
When I left, I looked like Puff the Magic Dragon. It was shot.
Oh, my God.
We're going all natural today.
I tell you, that humidity just did not deal with my hair. It was like little small animals had been biting my head. My hair napped up. It was just not. That's why I left. You turned around. Everybody was like, "Where's Jill?"
I
was somewhere looking for a flat iron.
Yeah, you disappeared.
I did because it was a puff at that point. And thank God I had a good cut. Yeah. But
shout out to Bombay Sapphire last night. It was
okay. Yeah, crazy. You can shut up. So listen, all right, you guys. So we haven't really discussed, election 2017. And our new president-elect, Donald J. Trump. So, thoughts around the table. First of all, did you all see Saturday Night Live? last night. You didn't see it?
Yeah. I don't watch that stuff.
You have to do your homework, Peter.
Gee, I don't watch that stuff. You know that.
You missed it. It was Chris Rock. It was Dave Chappelle and A Tribe Called Quest. It was amazing.
Dave Chappelle comeback. It was crazy.
His monologue
was crazy. Everything was crazy.
It was awesome. And it was, I mentioned earlier that it was, in North Carolina, one of the stations in North Carolina, preempted several parts of the show. I don't even know if I can say it. It's a darn shame that, because as soon as the mic is off, I would say it, but I can't say it on the mic, but I digress. And the headline, of course, went viral. Everybody was sharing and like, they censoring, you know. It's already started with Trump. They're censoring, you know, language. But when, in fact, this television station in particular is well known for censoring content. They used to be a CBS affiliate, and now they went to NBC affiliate. So it's really nothing new for that station in particular. So that's not one, you know, not the soapbox to jump on Monday, people. That was not the case in that scenario. But, what are your thoughts about the next 4 years, my friend?
I wrote something, I guess. I said something, and all week, I'll sum up what happened. So one of my buddies is a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist that I really respect, older black guy, well, I used to respect.
Oopsie.
And I wrote something, and he called me, he said, "Peter, you're a sellout, this, that, the other, that, the other." Because what I wrote was that I think the Democratic Party has kept... I just think this election showed just how weak black leadership in America is, extremely. That we really weren't that motivated to come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also, in a sense, I think this is a positive. And don't everybody don't go crazy with me saying this. Let me explain. I think that black life right now in America is we're at a standstill. I think the bottom has fell out to some degree, and I think that has come from I think the leadership, the current black leadership, has kept black people in a perpetual state of complacency and stagnancy. I think that we've been sold enough dreams. If you look at inner city communities where the Democratic Party kind of has overseas, black or white Democrats.
No, he didn't say overseers.
Not saying overseas, but what I'm trying to say is they have double unemployment rates than the national average.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've been, I think Trump is a wake-up call. So I look at it two ways, two scenarios, and I think it's a positive either or. I think that Donald Trump has shifted the paradigm in society, in American society. I think he's not loyal to... A lot of these white supremacists are thinking that he doesn't care about them either, right? I think Donald Trump is a salesman. Mm-hmm. He knew that the black vote is so democratic. So instead of trying to cut into that, he said, let me pander to the white working class, tell them what they want to hear. They came out and they put him in, but he's going to be Donald Trump. I think that the Trump presidency... It clears room for a new black leadership. I don't think that guy's going to broker deals or even want to communicate with the established leaders. And I think that's a great thing. I think that ushers in a new era of black thought, a new era of black thinking. I think it pushes us and it challenges us. So I think he's going to have to broker partnerships with a new crew of black leaders. And if he doesn't want to do that, that new crew will still rise up, because we're not going to take anything. Like, we're at a point where we're not. If he wants to push us to the edge, we're going to come at him at the edge. But I think the beauty of this election is that we're tested now, and it's time for us to stop being what we were and are. And we have to really, now more than ever, black people really have to write their own ticket. And a lot of these poverty pimps who come out to our communities with the black past and rise everybody up, and they go back to wherever they come from, and nothing is done. I think they're done and they're over, and I'm tired of them, and I'm happy about that.
Well, Peter Bailey, let's make sure. Can you press record, Mark?
Jill, you know I'm going to give it to you. No chaser. I'm not filtered.
Peter Bailey, I agree with you.
Wow.
That's why I say record it.
Jill Tracy agree. Wow. I think that's the story.
Listen, and I will tell you that when I woke up and with that one eye open and I saw President-elect Donald J. Trump, and then I went back to sleep, and I got up, and I thought about you that entire day. Because you and I have had these conversations a lot. And, you know, it's always been, you know, young people right now or millennials right now, they don't care about X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, but they have to care. They should care. They, you know, about history and about how things happen. And it just made me really realize that, A, history is important. Mm-hmm. But, B, it cannot be more important than the present.
No, it can't.
And in the present moment, you're right. Nothing else. I think this was had to happen to push that new black agenda.
Yeah,
because there has because you're right. You're right about all of that. The Democrat. Everybody took African American audience for total granted until it was, you know, the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go over there and throw some money over there.
And look how, and Jill, think how disrespectful it is.
Yeah.
If Hillary Clinton, if you really want to talk a black agenda and you really respect us as a people, don't put Jay-Z up there. I respect Jay-Z. I think he's great. But don't put black entertainers up there. They can't carry that conversation.
You know what?
They're not going to demand Hillary. They're not going to sit with Hillary and say, we're demanding a deliverable on certain things. They're just happy to be in the building. They're about their audience. It's a stretch.
I just got to stop you there. So who should she have brought?
You could find a lot of powerful.
Dr. Umar Johnson.
There's black business. There's black business people. There's the intellectual community. Stop thinking some rapper, some entertainer is going to speak for us. Because hold up,
They're not there to speak for us.
But what's the difference of them being at the White House?
I don't agree with that either.
Why don't you agree that Jay-Z can go to the White House?
I don't mind he's in the White House, but there's other people you could bring to the White House. Then every time you're trying to reach a black audience, why entertain us all the time?
Okay, the reason why they brought Jay-Z and the Beyonce,
yeah,
and it didn't work, but
you of course it didn't work, because intelligent guys like me understand.
Okay, you weren't the person they was trying to get. You voted, right?
Of course.
So then you wasn't the one they was trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying
but
to
they
get.
Didn't they get was, who they didn't get. Right. They didn't get who
okay,
they wanted.
So the person that you want to bring, you thought they would, the young people would listen to them. They would have brought them out either.
The point is, if you're going to invite black leadership to the White House to speak a black agenda, bring people up there that can have that discussion respectfully.
But Jay-Z wasn't brought to speak the black agenda. He was there.
For a show to perform as usual. Exactly,
that's
and that's the problem, my brother. And that's the problem. We are not entertainers anymore. We are not entertainers anymore. That's the problem, my brother.
There's a shift.
There's a shift in the paradigm. There's a shift in the paradigm in America. And it's time.
I'm not going to sit here as an entertainer and
you're thinking person? It's not about you. It's not about you.
But I say, hold on a second, bro.
Because
you over talking me ain't going to make
it
right.
No, you cut it.
But what
so
I'm saying, but what I'm saying
you.
To you is,
this
is that entertainers have a magnetism that is necessary. So Jay-Z was there to say, okay, young people, you know, I got a story similar to yours, and I'm engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Get engaged,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So you need a Jay-Z, just like you needed a Harry Belafonte back in the day, just like you needed a Dick Gregory back in the day. I'm just talking about entertainers.
What is your
I don't know if I can compare Harry Belafonte.
It's entertainers.
Thank you.
It's entertainers because you have a magnetism. Okay, he wasn't there.
Okay, but wait.
Can you, Razor,
can you accept what he's saying? It's true, and there's resonance to that this was not a time to be entertained.
No, they don't take it seriously, is what I'm saying.
They came out for, and the numbers proved it out. They came out for a concert, and then they went home.
Exactly.
That was it. No resonance.
We're treated as a black...
What the numbers proved of this election is basic math, okay? Even if 100% of the black people voted, that wouldn't have got Hillary Clinton elected.
Yes,
okay,
no,
but
it would have. It shows statistically that we didn't come out and support. It shows that.
We didn't support. But
exactly.
Guess what? We are a minority, are we not?
No, but 46 million people did not vote.
Exactly.
Yeah, but all of them weren't black.
I know that.
But okay. A lot of them.
46 million of them were not black. Don't put this loss at the feet of black people.
That's not what I'm doing. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm kind of lost.
Okay, so this loss basically shows that white people had anger issues, and they were angry.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary Clinton, what she did was, God bless her, she bet on black, and she didn't bring a message for white pain. Mm-hmm. And that's why she lost, okay? She lost because she didn't bring a message for white pain. That's it. And there are more of them than they are of us.
I disagree. I think that's pandering. What you're saying is like she didn't pander enough to them, and you know Appalachians that you know.
Donald Trump was the anti-politician,
right? And
the American public right now is craving authenticity, and
by any means necessary.
By any means necessary,
clearly, and that's what this showed. We drank the Kool-Aid on the Democratic Party and on Hillary because there's just no way, I could see to Donald Trump being president, period.
Exactly.
Everything he said, everything he did, he's against everything that I believe, that makes a good citizen. And your president is supposed to be somebody that you want to look up to, you want your children to look up to. And Donald Trump was absolutely positively none of that. Right? That's my thought. And so I'm riding that, and I'm betting on Hillary. But I would have done better to ride that and bet on Bernie Sanders.
Indeed. Indeed. I think Bernie Sanders exiting the early showed us a lot of what we are as a people, because he was the more pure-hearted candidate.
And
the young people was
exactly were already ready. That energy was already there, and Hillary chased it all the whole campaign, and she never got it. And coming up on the other side, Jen is going to tell Razor why Donald Trump is going to keep him from having regular sex in his house.
I don't know how Donald Trump going to do that unless he grabbed me by the hold on.
This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
We'll be right back on Hot 105. For 31 years, after a long day at work, on the drive home relaxing, on date night to set the mood, or in bed with your boo, one familiar voice has been with you, playing your favorite songs to make it right.
Hey love, this is Freddy Cruz on The Quiet Storm on Hot 105. It's music for lovers all night long. Music that sparks the magic of romance. Turn it on.
Share my life.
Weeknights, 7 to midnight on Hot 105.
Responsible for the population boom in South Florida.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
About 2 or 3 months ago, I started having money problems. Ever since then, I've had a pretty hard time keeping up with the bills. The worst part is I can't make the house payments. So when the phone started to ring and I knew it was the mortgage people calling, I didn't pick it up. I just couldn't. And the notices were coming in the mail, too. Lots of them. Now I may lose my house, and I don't know what to do.
If you're facing foreclosure, doing nothing only puts you deeper in the hole. Now's the time to dig yourself out. Call 1-888-995-HOPE today. That's 1-888-995-4673. because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
Everyone deserves access to eye care. Unfortunately, some cannot afford comprehensive eye exams that detect and prevent eye disease, disease that can lead to vision loss. The Florida Optometry Eye Health Fund is here to help. The fund promotes access to comprehensive eye care to help the less fortunate reach their full potential. If you know a child in need, urge them to contact Miami Lighthouse. Help them see a clearer future.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
Tom Joyner in the morning. The Tom Joyner Morning Show. And everybody knows the song. 105.1.
Horace Whitaker is on the phone. And you're promoting your new movie, Arrival?
Mm-hmm.
They're calling this the best film of 2016.
Really?
Wow, I didn't know.
And I'm looking forward to this weekend.
I can't wait to see it.
Arrival.
Yeah, Arrival.
Supposed to be the best movie of 2016?
Yeah, they're calling it the best movie of 2016.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. See you at the Oscars.
Okay. Again.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
Hot 105.
Hot, hot, hot 105.
Hot, hot, hot 105. Yeah.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Back to Hot Talk, 888-550-9105. So, if you're just joining us, we are talking about the title of my show today was Holy Mother of God. Last week we talked about what is the world going to look like on November 9th, and we're all still standing. Here tonight with me, Nightcap creator Peter Bailey. Along with comedian Razor and sex therapist, as always, Miss Jen in the house. Dr. Love Mahogany to some of you.
We are a real eclectic bunch tonight.
Aren't we, though? Well, you know, the show changed because it was
it
going
did.
To be... Yeah, so the whole barbershop has moved out.
Yeah, life as we know it had changed in a night.
Yeah.
In a night, everything just changed.
Yeah, it totally did. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if I am... And on one hand, I have to say that I'm kind of happy that I'm with you, Peter. Mm-hmm. Kind of happy because
we're making history. Me and Jill agree.
Okay,
we got that camera too, man.
Thank you. Man. It made a complete. I swear, when I woke up, it was like the when you hear that firing pistol when a race starts, because it did. It changed the paradigm.
It's did.
Okay.
It did.
So it's really.
You know what it showed black people too.
Mm.
Power in this world is taken. It's not given.
Power concedes nothing without demand.
Nothing. So, I mean, when I look at it, Jill, I was born into the world, right? You know, it's a capitalist society. So we have to accept that in a capitalist society there will be an underclass. I'm just tired of it being us.
Right.
So from the time I came into the world, we were it. We still it. And we are still kind of saying the same things.
Yeah.
You know, so now we have this X factor called Donald Trump. Like I said earlier, is either he's going to have to work with us. And if he doesn't, I'm believing in this new young crew of black millennials and young people. We're a different breed. We're not taking it.
Yeah, and it's definitely...
He has to reckon with us, especially guys like myself.
It's not going to be like it was before, because we talked about that, at the polls. But about the... You know, I will say part of the conversation, and Jen, you tell me... You know how you feel about it, but part of that conversation for me was that there's a level of safety, that also felt like it left.
Oh, absolutely. I felt watching the results came in, I felt like someone had snatched my safety net from around me,
right?
Because now I felt as if I now have to put up a wall to now protect myself and have my guards up a little more, because it was like from that night on, this week, I have seen and heard more racist comments said and actions taken and people being beaten and smacked in our own community, people I know, and that is a fear. I am a black woman. What am I going to do if that happens to me? What if that happens to my brother? Like, those were the thoughts that ran through my head as I'm watching things already happen to people I know.
Yeah, that tape that went viral in, what was it, in L.A., where the rumor is that the tape was, there was some kind of, confrontation in the cars, and the white guy got out, and somehow he was identified as a Trump supporter, and these brothers beat him to a pulp.
Yeah.
Mm. It's
That one went more viral than the kids, in Indiana screaming build a wall at the Mexican kids, and but of course it's what you and there's been a lot of talk around the media, and I have to say that I've lost a lot of respect for CNN, news organizations. I lost a lot of respect for them because, that the law of what you focus on expands.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
There wasn't a news cycle. Mark and I talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. There was not a news cycle that you were in 40 seconds before Donald Trump's name would be mentioned.
They kind of exploited that.
Yeah.
And he kind of knew that.
I think part of it is, too, that... Mark, I'm starting to think that they wanted that because it was going to create more viewers than Hillary. Hillary would have been a boring presidency. There wouldn't have been as many people watching all these news channels as now are going to stay glued to it because, it's the greatest reality show on earth.
Donald Trump manipulated the media from the beginning.
Right.
Notice what he did during the Republican primary. Donald Trump was the only candidate that called the back line number of all the news carriers.
Yeah.
And after everything, he would say, "Oh, we got Donald Trump on the line."
Right.
And
right.
Donald Trump just calls them up and gives them interview. He gave them what they always wanted, access.
Right. Yeah.
He gave them access. And he manipulated the system. He didn't have to. Donald Trump didn't need campaign ads. He was his walking campaign ad. I added Donald Trump to Twitter.
Yeah. I totally agree. He knew how to use it. It was nowhere that you looked that you were like, dang, he can't possibly be on everybody's show.
Right.
And literally, he was.
He was everywhere. He was. And you know what was...
And he was on a Spanish network, and a lot of people speak Spanish.
Thank you. And, two things that were just permeated in these campaigns that we totally missed, that a lot of people totally missed. First was the whole email thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the fact that the server that everybody was complaining about did not get hacked.
Yeah.
That was the only one that didn't get hacked.
She had the best server.
I think what we really forget in America, to give Hillary credit, because I think she's a brilliant woman.
Mm-hmm.
Sexism is bigger than racism in America.
Amen.
I think we really have to understand.
Wave the flag.
Trust me, like, you know what really ticks me off, Jill? You know how sisters get on Facebook talking about black men, this black man, that. Let me tell you something, man. That misogynist stuff, white guys, they own that.
Yeah,
like, right.
Black men are not quite 2% close to disrespect for these guys.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember I was working at a paper. I'm not going to say it, but people know which paper.
Yeah.
I remember a white male editor said something to the effect of, if you think I'm going to have some woman leading me instead of on her knees, forget about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's to all my beautiful black women who like to say that black men ain't da-da-da-da. Yeah. Yeah. That disrespect comes from the other
and
side.
You know,
they invented
to tell what you say, like, black men... We was raised by our mama.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
There's certain things
exactly.
We could say a lot of stuff, right? But there's just certain things we just not gonna say, and we're not gonna tolerate being said.
This man indicted himself with a sexual assault.
Right.
He indicted himself.
Yeah.
And he still got in
the White House.
Indicted himself with sexual assault. Come on.
Right, and he still got in the White House. But you know what? That wouldn't Jennifer, so we should ask Philip Bailey about his friend Trick Daddy.
Why is she calling me Philip? Why? Are you gonna bring up Trick? You gonna go there with this?
Peter Bailey, right? I just made a wide left hand turn. Bailey is, you know, the cook. He wrote Trick's book. It was not called Diary of a Madman, but clearly it should have been.
I was actually with him when he was doing all that.
So what was that about?
You know, to be honest, man, you know how black women have discussions about brothers. We have discussions.
Yes, and yeah. Jennifer and I did.
We're sisters, right? And
that was the best. I wish I had the Peter's girl just looked at him like, don't do it.
Spit, brother, spit.
Don't forget who you got to go home with after this.
I don't have a girl, first of all. But
go ahead and spit, man.
The lovely young woman here with Peter just looked at him like, okay, wait for it.
It's not all that. But anyhow.
Go ahead and spit.
That was classic.
What it was is, you know, I'm going to put the disclaimer out.
Okay.
I'm going to spit a disclaimer out, Jill. So, Razor, you
okay.
Really? I love black women.
Okay.
I love the strength, the beauty, the resilience.
I feel a butt coming off.
All that.
Black women always got a butt.
All that. But we were having a conversation. Me and female friends, I always like to have these raw, honest conversations.
Uh-huh.
If you look at historically what has been done, you go back to slavery.
Yes.
Where these guys would have a black man and they would rape his wife in front of him.
Yes.
Black women, deep rooted and seated, you're not going to say this because it don't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
All of that subconsciously has affected your trust and respect for us. The average black woman, hold up now. See, let me talk.
Did I say anything?
You won't say this, but subconsciously, there's a little bit of distrust and it's subconscious. Because, okay. If you look at the world, the average black family or household, there's jobs, right? You're working for somebody. Typically, that paycheck is not being cut by a black man. Am I right or wrong?
That's right.
Typically, a lot of single-parent homes, you're dealing with young ladies growing up where the first man in their life was either in prison or not around or shiftless, so he's breaking the promises. That trust factor is gone. We're living in a society where the images of black men being demonized is beamed to you constantly. Subconsciously, this affects you as a black woman and how you see the black male. Even though you don't want to do that or feel that way, there's a certain level of you're the man, but I really can't trust you to protect and keep me secure. And a lot of black women feel that, even though they don't want to say it. Am I right or am I wrong?
Which black woman in here would like to start?
Don't say what sounds good, because I'm not going to do that.
No, we're not.
As a therapist, I always believe that whatever you do as an adult, it started in your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
The parental relationship is the first relationship you have with a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to, they teach you how to love, affection, if you even say I love you, I care about you, you're beautiful, you're smart, like those are the relationships that is the foundation in which you grow to have as an adult. Mm-hmm. If you did not get that in your childhood, it certainly affects the relationships you have, not only if you love yourself or if you can love somebody else.
Right.
So I totally agree with that. Now, the slave part, I don't know.
All this stuff is subconscious, man.
I don't necessarily agree. But I do agree with your family and the parental relationship you have, definitely. And what society puts out there through music videos and social media, for sure. Women don't trust men. And it's about, I call it the single mom syndrome. When you've been raised by a single mom, and Jill, you know, because you had like seven generations of women in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's one who's been bitter or scorned, that is what they ingrain in you growing up. You can't trust dudes. They ain't. You know, like, they put that in you. So then you grow up to start that cycle over. So then you end up being a baby mama who also tells their child that. And then it continues on until somebody else comes in and makes you learn how to love yourself so that you could teach somebody else on how to love you.
Or you step in on your own, you know, in your own place and begin to love yourself. Yeah, because I didn't, you know, and my situation, I was raised by seven generations of women, and the only black man figure in my life was my great grandfather, and he was a magnanimous man. And but the one what I was left with as a child is that men leave.
See?
Right.
And that's just and so as an adult woman, I became proactive, and I like, okay, so I am going to make you chase me around the world twice.
Mm.
If you do that, then I can trust you.
See?
So there is that level up, but I don't know if it goes back to sold off to a white man.
But it does. But it does. It's emblematic of the Willie Lynch syndrome. It's endemic in our DNA. It is.
But I don't know if it goes back to that, because wait, because y'all tried to turn that corner away from Trick.
The bigger problem
to me.
Knock it up.
Right. The bigger problem to me is that, you know, the last thing in the world, white men don't really faze me to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want is a black man out there talking about me like that.
And I look,
clearly, he is supposed to be out there defending me.
I agree with
that.
He is supposed to be
my champion.
I agree with that.
Yes.
I agree with that. That conversation was a longer conversation we're having. And the conversation that comes up, to be honest, in a room of black men, not these life coach types that go on Facebook and tell y'all what y'all want to hear. Because they're a bunch of suckers.
Right, and write soliloquies on Instagram.
Exploiting y'all. I'm just being real with you.
Yeah.
Telling y'all this nonsense about, oh, you ain't got a man because you strong and he weak. No. You ain't got a man because maybe a little bit miserable. So the conversation we were having was, black men get together and we have these real conversations.
Yes, I believe that.
You know,
that,
I'm always the one who will fall on the sword and put it out there. But it's, why are these sisters so angry? That was the theme of the conversation, as usual.
Okay.
You know, so
again, which black woman in here would like to start?
No, but what I'm trying to say,
I agree with him. So, a lot of the
discussion we were having was, see, I'm the type of person who I like to look at everybody's side. And I'm looking at it from just bringing it down from what we just discussed. Single parent households, we're number one with that.
Right.
Most black women, a lot of black women are grown up in homes where daddy was, there is a distrust. And that distrust leads to, if a man does something that may be basic, it may be a mistake, it's blown out of proportion to another level, right?
Because he's now wearing the same label as the father who wasn't there.
So he's getting beat up.
Right.
For
somebody else's mistake.
That was a discussion. The discussion was,
okay, all right, I'll take that.
Tripping like that. So it was a longer discussion.
Right.
But trust me, I can vouch for that. Him, me, all of us, ain't nothing like a black woman.
Right.
Sometimes people get emotional, they get frustrated. But I think what was good about that was that it gets us to start thinking about these things. So like I said, a lot of what's going on in our community, people pimping, people pacifying people to get money. It's a lot of these little life coach types.
Him going out there talking about, we are that black woman better, tighten up.
That was kind of funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah, okay.
That Hispanic and white women are about to make us obsolete and not relevant. So
I'm
yeah.
not cool signing.
So, we, but you all didn't call him on that. That's what I'm saying. As many, you know, it's an army of angry black women out there calling him on it.
No, we had a discussion
but,
on
you
that.
Know.
But what the man want to do with his social media? That's what the man want to do with his social media.
No, but I'm saying, but you, but some of his friends, mm-hmm. like you, mm-hmm. who you know, and there's several others. I won't name them. Mm-hmm. You know, when he started to come back and try to say, okay, I wasn't talking about mm-hmm. all black women. I was talking about, you know, mm-hmm. garden tools.
Jill, I want to be part of that.
And I'm
I was traveling.
Maybe
I
you
was
guys
not,
should be having those kind of conversations.
I was like, y'all need to be, Jill, but you, you know it's viral.
Jill,
it's
I
viral.
Will tell you, like I said, we had the discussion. He know where I stand with it and where I stand with it. I said, Trick, you got to go clarify that. That's what
yeah.
I said. And I think he did go on the radio.
He was on Rick. And yeah,
I didn't
he,
listen to the conversation.
He said with
said,
Rick that, you know, I wasn't talking about, you know, good, hard-working black women. I was talking about them garden tools that are, you know.
That's because he
ain't messing
with the good educated women.
But listen, he was talking about them garden tools
okay, but
that
to be
he
fair,
is glorifying
Jill,
in his videos.
Can I say something, Jill?
Yes, you can.
And Trick going to be like, boy, Pete, I can't believe you said that. But let's just be realistic. That's my brother from another, but it's we talking about Trick.
Kelly on line one.
I'm just keeping it real, man.
Kelly on line one.
Like,
welcome to Hot Talk.
Talk. You know, now if not,
right.
Let's be
right.
About Trick.
Thank
we're
you,
Jill.
That represents all of us.
Kelly? Sorry, Kelly. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Good night.
Good night.
Jill, good night, panel. Good night, Jill. I have a comment. I'm just here thinking, like, what could Hillary have done differently? What could she have done to save the election? My take on it is that she allowed Donald Trump to ride her to the White House with that email situation. You know, if she would have addressed Donald Trump all openly and boldly about her emails, especially in the debates, I think that what that probably could have saved a lot of what was going on in the election, because everything that happened with those emails, she didn't mention. She had one word to say in discussion about her emails to him.
Well,
that's
she,
my take on
honestly, I don't think that did anything.
I mean,
you know what I think the X factor was, Jill, everybody?
Kelly.
It was what I said earlier. The black leadership in America is very weak right now. So she didn't have that support base to go rally people to really, you know, people I talked to and said they're not voting. You know what I mean? People, I told
yeah,
said
46 million.
She basically
not all black.
She already has.
You don't know
she
all
has
black
an issue with connecting, right? She has an issue with that. Was Hillary has an issue with connecting,
right?
And everybody knows people are not. Look, man, the average voter, we're not Harvard educated folks. A study was showing that people vote for the person they think they could have a bear with.
That's right.
It's a connect.
Well,
it's a human connection. Hillary really lacks that.
Yep. And Donald Trump
really lacks
and Donald
that.
Trump's message is no longer than five words.
Exactly.
Right.
Make America great.
Everything
he does. And the other.
Kelly, what were you saying?
Hello.
Yeah. What were you saying? I can hear you.
No, I said his words are everything is huge, it's a disaster, and
bigly.
Just everything is just bigly. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
This a type of. I'm listening to you, Jill.
Yeah, no. I was just gonna say that, you know, my friend Jason identified that really early on. You know, and it's almost like nursery rhymes, you know, how children learn.
Absolutely.
And he stuck to that for 15 months. He said the exact same thing in the same rhythm, et cetera.
I'll show you what Hillary could have done and won. And no member of the media has done it. Hillary didn't do it. None of our black leaders did it. None of our blacks in entertainment or radio ever asked one question. Donald Trump, when was America great? If anyone ever asked him that, caught him on camera with him having to respond to that.
What period of time?
When was America great? You'd have been able to unmask Donald Trump by him answering that question. And
that's
no one challenged
point.
Him.
That's a really great point.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Oops. I'm sorry, Kelly. Hi. Line two. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Yes, is this me?
Hey, Brother Al.
It is you.
Yes.
Hey, Brother Al. How are you, sir?
How are you all?
Great. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm fine. Look, we're going to have to deal with it. I'm going to say something here you all might not like, but that brother that is speaking about the leadership in America.
Mm. Peter Bailey.
Yes, I got. Look, I agree with him totally. What happened is
you two for one tonight.
I know. I want to roll here. Thank you, brother.
And because of what I heard him say, he realized we've been pushed up against the corner, pushed up against the wall, and the more desperation, the more desperate we get, the more power come out of us.
Exactly.
The statements that he made tonight, I agree with. And this is what we're going to have to deal with. And because of what he said, I'm glad Donald Trump won. Because what he's pointing out is what Bible say my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
What he said tonight is what we need to teach our children.
We're going Amen.
To confess up to that.
And did you hear?
Ever since we've been here in America, it's all been, everything has been about race, money, and tearing us down, taking us out of the image of God that we was born in, and putting us into the crap we're in today.
Yep.
Yeah. All the uncleanliness that you see in our community, we're going to have to make it clean. The immorality, we're going to have to make it moral. The ungodliness, we're going to have to make it godly and be the people we ought to be. That's why I was mentioning what Solomon said about the black ant. Be yourself. Mm. They have put the red ant inside of us, and that's why we're stinging one another. And that's, again, what that brother was talking about.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to have. This is what we're going to have to do. And what happened is we've been made less than the people we are to be, and you all ain't going to like this one here. But ever since the missionaries went over to Africa, just like they out around the world today, they checked out all of our weakness, all of our strengths, what we had in us that they want to take out. And when they brought us over here, they know what to work with. And the same thing, now don't y'all come bother me, but listen to this.
Wait a minute, did you hear the minister last week?
And sisters that's in sororities and fraternities and lodge.
Yeah.
What happened is they have good positions of authority around, and that's our leadership. And just like when they took us from Africa, they took all our architects, engineers, farmers, everything that can be, everybody that can build up America.
Yeah.
They have all our people that can build us up in a sorority, a fraternity, or a lodge, and they got the knowledge. And that's what that brother was saying tonight.
Yeah.
That's the leadership. When they come out and begin to speak like that brother speaking, we're going to do it. You become the black ant then. And what the messenger and Minister Farrakhan has said is when that happened, you see what they're talking about, the electron, the proton, and the neutron?
Right.
The positive and negative and people that are doing nothing. The neutron is just like your car is a neutron. Ain't going no damn well.
Well, did you see the minister last Sunday, Brother Al?
Yeah.
I said, did you see the minister speak last Sunday?
Sister, I'm high off that now.
Okay. I had a...
People getting high with crack and...
Yeah.
Urban.
It was very powerful.
And everything. Well, you know what? His duty is to tell the truth, whether it's heard or not.
And he does it and does it well. As do you, Brother Al. Thank you so much, babe, for calling. We are out of here. Peter Bailey, look at that. Okay, so now listen. You can hear more from Peter on November 19th.
At the Overtown Lyric Theater in Overtown, where I'm basically helping to build an infrastructure for the new promising entrepreneurs in Miami of color. Because it's time we build business together. It's
Amen.
Time that we own our own story. And the only way we do that is by building an economy within each other. You know?
And I'm with you 700% on that one. Razor?
Yeah, I mean, we just gotta. Hey, it's only 4 years. You know? It's only
you
four
can do anything
years.
For a little
you
while.
Can do anything for a little while, man.
I'm so tired of hearing that justification.
Okay.
Just work on yourself, because guess what? Honestly, we got 4 years of Trump, but we got some more elections coming up before Trump is out of office. Let's focus on our local government, focus on the people that really change our lives locally.
I agree with that.
I agree with that.
Use this as a jump off point to do the things that you need to do to change your life personally.
Amen. Well, so Jen, do you think he'll be getting any in the next 4 years?
I don't know. I don't know if she got what it takes as a first lady.
She was sharp, though, I have to say, when they made the announcement. I just have to
she
say.
Just looked
you
sharp.
See that pantsuit.
She ain't the sharpest tool in
but
the
shed. But that pantsuit was sharp. I'm
but
just saying.
I, you know, and I heard a great statement this week that I'll end with this. If you're thinking about moving out the country, move to a swing state instead.
Ba-da-ba-ba. And on that note, we're out. Actually, it doesn't get any better than that. Thank you so much for joining us each and every Sunday night right here on Hot Talk. We will be back next Sunday, and I hope you will too. Gotta go. Love you, mean it. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
This is the last take for the night. Understand it's kinda late, and I gotta get home to my son, cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him. That's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed, yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed, yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left, yeah. My son, father doing his absolute. I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. Yeah, yeah.
Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers, are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
On Saturday, November 19th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., AmScott Financial and Law Enforcement agencies throughout South Florida will be hosting AmScott's free bike helmet giveaway at select AmScott locations in South Florida. This annual event is part of AmScott's Kids First initiative, and every child who attends will be fitted with a free bike helmet while supplies last. Local preschools, daycares, and elementary schools are encouraged to participate. Visit AmScott.com. Be there Saturday, November 19th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Quitting tobacco isn't easy. In all honesty, it's a very hard thing to do. The good news is, Tobacco Free Florida is here to help you quit your way by offering the free support and tools you'll need to succeed. For the do-it-yourselfers, there's WebQuit, a free online resource that gives you access to tools, tips, and support to help you quit tobacco at your own pace. Just log on to tobaccofreeflorida.com and see how you can start your plan. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried to quit, now is your time to succeed. Along with WebQuit, we offer a series of additional proven tools to help you quit your way, such as GroupQuit and PhoneQuit. You're just a click away from starting your quit plan. The time is now to quit your way, so double your chances of success by calling 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW or connecting to WebQuit at tobaccofreeflorida.com. This is your start to a tobacco-free life. No judgments, just help.
What makes the holidays so great? Plenty of refreshing Coca-Cola and those unsung holiday heroes who make the season extra special. Like the guy at the end of the block braving sub-zero temperatures to put the best light display in the neighborhood. Or the driver working overtime to drop off last-minute gifts. Or even Kris Kringle himself. So swing by El Bodega this holiday season. Stock up on delicious Coca-Cola and take a moment to share one with your holiday hero. Taste the feeling.
Yo, what's good? This is the fella with the low top fade. This is Play from Kid and Play, and you're listening to WHQT, Carl Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
A Cox Media Group station.
Africa plus Ken equals African. A celebration of history, culture, people, through food, music, talks, and exhibitions will highlight the ingenuity, economic, and social opportunities of Africa and the diaspora. The weekend-long event will be held at Miami's historic Virginia Key Beach Park from November 18th through the 20th. Event proceeds will benefit Hurricane Matthew relief efforts for Haiti. African Fest. For festival information, call 305-900-5523 or visit AfricanFest.com. That's AfricanFest.com. We are African.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? CMG Local Solutions can help you take out all the guesswork out of digital marketing. Reach the right customer with a simple online marketing solution that is right for you. Learn more at cmglocalsolutions.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500.